morning.
Good morning.
It is absolutely thrilling for me to be with you this morning, and even more thrilling for me to be on this side of the pulpit. There are certain prerogatives that you acquire by doing this. You know, I got to pick the hymns, by the way. Hope you like them. I have also noticed that our clock is stuck on 9 o'clock. So I will keep an eye on my watch. I think the last time I spoke here, Bliss Woodruff reminded me in his unique way that I had spoken over and that I was to be here for just the 60 minutes, and that was it. So I will keep looking at my watch to be sure that I deal with you appropriately. I am Arthur Howard Rublinger. I think most of you know me. A lot of you know me. Probably a lot of you know that I am a hospice chaplain. I am the hospice chaplain for Derry Home Health and Hospice, now located in Londonderry, but we'll deal with that later. I have been a member of this church. Yes, I've been a member of this church for 25 years or so. It is literally fantastic for me to be looking into the eyes of so many people whom I have known for all that time. Thank you for being in my life. Conversely, I'm looking into the eyes of many of you I've never seen before in my life. If you are in this category, you must be asking yourself, how can this fellow be a member of our church for a quarter of a century, and I've never met him? Of course, there can be a number of answers for this. As genuine Unitarian Universalists, we hold a number of beliefs, do we not, that can sort of work against us as far as being visible in a church? Anybody know about that? One is that we seem to think that we can be reverent and at one with the universe if anywhere at all in the world. We don't need to come to a church service. Many of you seem to take this quite literally. As a result, we shoot ourselves in the foot as far as being present in church is concerned. Do you believe, as I do, that there are many, many, many undeclared Unitarian Universalists out there who will never set foot across a UU church threshold? They need to join us, don't you think, and recharge and refill. There's no better place to do that than in a sanctuary like this one. Additionally, one of the statistics that was circulated around a General Assembly meeting that I attended, I don't know if I was representing this church or perhaps another at the time, but anyway, one of the statistics that was circulating at that particular meeting, I remember quite well, is that the average UU, or the typical UU, asks another person to join them in church once every, how often? 27 years. 27 years. Oh my gosh. The typical Unitarian Universalist asks another person, just one, not your office, not your soccer team, not anybody else, ask another person to attend church with them once every 27 years. Yike. We can, but we'll deal with that another time, perhaps. But anyway, the reason that a number of you do not know me is that I serve two small Unitarian Universalist churches as a supply preacher, so to speak. Ellen, these churches would make your 40-member church look enormous. The New Hampshire, Vermont countryside, which make up our district, and we are soon to be joined with the state of Maine, as I'm sure you all know, so that it will be a three-state northern New England district. These communities are dotted with little churches. I am so fortunate because in both of mine, the organists do play with both hands, and the music, although it isn't of this nature yet, but it still is very, very good. The first church that I serve is coincidentally titled the First Universalist Church of West Chesterfield, and the other is the South Parish Unitarian Church in Charlestown, New Hampshire, home of Carlton Fisk. Our claim to fame there. Both of these churches are so small that they routinely close during the winter because they cannot budget for the heat. Well, this year, it would have been a pretty simple thing to do, it would seem. Although both of these churches have a lot in common, the Unitarian Church wants to be sure that you know they are not Universalist. And the Universalist Church, even more so, wants to be sure that you know they are not Unitarian. They are really interesting churches. You can't put a sermon in your pocket and go to either church and just present it. You have probably heard it said, if you are thinking of Unitarians, that the Unitarians believe in the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, and the neighborhood of Boston. Stereotypically, Unitarians have been thought of urbanites and leaders and so forth. Universalists have been thought of as more rural-oriented. And although I'm painting with a big brush here, I think that Universalists have sort of felt secondary to Unitarians throughout much of our co-joined history. To illustrate this, you may have heard the story of the Universalist minister out in a farm country serving a small parish in a farming community. He had a very small congregation of very faithful people, but there was one darn farmer who quit coming to church. The minister went to this farmer who had quit coming to church and said, "Why aren't you coming to church anymore?" "Gee whiz, parson, I only have these coveralls and these old boots. I don't want to come to church dressed like this." The parson said, "I have a spare shirt, sports coat, slacks, shoes. I'll give them to you if you'll come back to church." The man agreed. And the parson came back that very afternoon with the clothes. But darn it all, that next Sunday, the farmer still did not show up at the Universalist Church. The Universalist minister was a bit annoyed, went up to the farmer and asked, "I gave you all those clothes, why didn't you show up?" "Well, brother," the farmer said, "I got all showered and shaved and I put on those neat duds you gave me. I looked in the mirror. I looked so darn good, I went to the Episcopal Church. Seen the handheld ones, but in this new vehicle, this is a small touchscreen, or you can give it commands by voice. The navigational system will offer a visual, and then upon touching a button, a computer-generated voice to tell you how to get to your destination. This is a very useful appliance. I want you to know I'm going to feed the next page and a half to the shredder. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if we could have sort of a navigational system active in our lives? Would it be a benefit to you to always know the best choice, the best direction for you to take in your life? Should you marry this person or risk never marrying at all? Should you send your child to public school or send them perhaps to a private school where they are more focused on his needs? Should we tell our life partner how much we love them every day? Or should we remain more distant and assume they know of our deep affection? If you had such a navigational system, would you always want to take its advice? Would it be an improvement to have a navigational system for our nation? It does seem that whatever system we brought in to determine our actions militarily, we have certainly made some very bad decisions. How helpful a reliable navigational system would have been just a few years ago when these disastrous choices, curiously based on intelligence, were being made. Would it be an improvement if we had a navigational system for our church? With the new opportunities that are before us, wouldn't it be an enhancement if we knew just what those outcomes might be, what directions we should take? In my work as a hospice chaplain, I so often hear the words, "If I had only known, if I had only known that someone was going to face this, I would have done something differently." Or, "If I had only known that he was so close to passing on, I would have spoken these loving words." These types of statements suggest that an absolute navigational system might be an advantage in life. The truth is that there may be some helps available, but I have yet to discover a navigational system for navigating through life. Yet there certainly is guidance. One of my favorite texts religion for a dummy. I have a master's of divinity, but this book is invaluable. And it goes on to discuss some of the issues that we find in terms of navigating through life, and also recognizing the universality of the issues that we face. In discussing universal ethics, the beliefs and rituals of the world's religion are very different, so you may be surprised to discover that the ethics of the world's religions are almost identical. Yike. They are almost identical. This similarity holds true for religions that haven't had much or any contact with the rest of the world. And then it goes on, and then skipping back here. As a small child, you may have grabbed a toy from your playmate, who of course immediately started to wail. You'd then hear your mom, dad, or teacher say something like, "Well, how would you like it if someone did that to you?" Sound familiar? The lesson these adults were trying to teach us is what is popularly known in the West as the Golden Rule. This rule commands people to get beyond their selfishness and self-absorbed isolation. The Golden Rule serves as a reminder that what hurts us hurts others, and that what heals us heals others. And then, and I won't read them to you, but there is a listing of all the different religions and their statements for the Golden Rule, and how, in their own words, they have been able to put that into their thought. Although it may make our road bumpy, I am sure that we are all thankful that we, in fact, have free will. We can be glad that we do not have an absolute navigational system to follow. But as you go forward in this new year, be guided by your highest aspirations. Be guided by our UU principles and practices, so that you, in fact, may achieve your finest outcomes, not only for yourselves and your loved ones, but all those people you influence, particularly those undeclared UUs have been looking to you for 27 years, because they are looking at you now for guidance as you utilize your own navigation system. May it ever be so. Amen. Our closing hymn is